I think one of the most important lessons that we've learned from this is the first story out on the first day is there was a lot of waste in the past. But like you mentioned, this is about being prepared for the future. So I think the lesson learned is this. This is a national security issue. And if we're going to be prepared with troops and equipment, prepared to go to war, we have to take contracting seriously. We had a number of defense and state officials, both in uniform and civilian officials, tell us that we're going to take contractors to war when we go to war. It's just a given fact. So in that case, our view is that we have to be prepared to go to war. We were not prepared the last time we went to war to take this many contractors.
So would you say that the report documents a fiasco, or this is just something that needs tweaking and adjusting? Put it in perspective for us.
I think it needs. We need major change. We need a lot of reform, and we need it urgently. The urgency is underscored by the fact that it's a national security issue. It's not an issue. Sure, it involves technical contracting and RFPs and deal-like IDIQ contracts and the like and the details of the FAR. But at the end of the day, the urgency for me comes from the fact that it's a national security imperative. If we're going to send troops and diplomats and development experts into war, they got to be prepared. And part of the way they prepare now is they go with contractors. So let's get serious about that and let's fix it so we don't have this fiasco next time.
Now, when a plane crashes or a ship sinks, there are often highly technical recommendations made to prevent something from happening when they discover the cause.
Right.
But reading over the recommendations of the commission, a lot of them are soft, like develop a cadre, take actions to mitigate certain types of activities, elevate this position, expand, you know, create a permanent office of IG and so forth. And those strike me as cultural changes.
Yes.
Or personnel changes. So how do those get affected?
That you, Tom, use the right word, cultural, and the culture is what needs to be fixed. We weren't an auditor. They have plenty of audit help and investigative help on individual contracts. We tried to be take it up a couple of levels and be a little more strategic about what needs to be fixed to get this right, and it is a cultural fix. One of the findings we had was that, you know, 20 years after the Services Acquisition Reform Act and other attempts to reform acquisition, agencies still don't value acquisition as a core competency. They still view it as kind of a back office shop. Acquisition professionals need to be at the table. And one of the recommendations in our report would ensure that in the case of state and aid, those officials are at the table when there are strategic decisions being made about how the agency does its business.
It sort of makes me think about the military and how the military puts everybody through a boot camp, whether you wind up in some sort of acquisition backroom type of administrative office or whether you're on the front lines. Is that the way you're sort of envisioning it too?
Well, you're right, Amy. The everyone in the Marine Corps, they're a Marine and a rifleman first, and they have that level of basic training, no matter what they're going to go do at the end. But the cultures in the services, even with an acquisition, there's a culture that values, certainly in the DoD perspective, that values hardware, where you want to go buy hardware. There's program offices set up. It's a way you get promoted. But the truth is that DoD is now buying almost 60% of their spending goes to buying services. And that's not viewed as attractive from a career perspective. It's viewed as simple. And the results in Iraq and Afghanistan, which is largely services contracting, we're not buying a whole lot of advanced weapon systems for those fights. The results there show us that services contracting is not simple or a secondary function. They need to get much more professional about it.
We're speaking with Bob Henke, a member of the Commission on Wartime Contracting. And in your opinion, what should Congress do? They must have a role in all of this reform that's called for also.
Oh, absolutely. Congress has a major role. And what's nice to see in the last day or two is that we've gotten some the reaction from Congress has been very strong and very positive. Congress needs to do a number of things. We're going to have a couple of hearings in September and October. I think three are now scheduled. But the dominant thing that Congress can do is provide resources to the contingency contracting workforce and to the contingency contracting function to make sure that we don't forget these lessons. They need to keep the spotlight on. The commission goes away in about 30 days. So it's really up to the press and Congress to keep the pressure on to make these recommendations stick and make these things happen. What I'm most concerned about is when we pull out of Iraq and eventually when we wind down in Afghanistan, we'll go back to normal and we'll reset and think that we don't have to worry about this again. We solved all these problems. That's really far from the truth. We've got a long way to go. And Congress can authorize changes. They need to provide funding for the changes. There are a number of things that the agencies can do without congressional direction, so those should be done immediately. And then Congress needs to step in and hold them accountable.
I wondered about that, because you referred to this as a cultural change, and beyond paying for it, do you think Congress can actually legislate a cultural change?
Well, no, Congress can't legislate it. The agencies, at the end of the day, have to have leaders who understand this and who value contracting and understand that the way we went to war last time, we can't do that again. We can't afford it financially, and we shouldn't do it operationally. It puts our troops at too much at risk. Look, the report, we're not about criticizing contractors. We're not about criticizing the federal workforce. Everyone has a part of the blame here. It was, like you said, Amy, a fiasco, and we need to do better in the future.
Now, looking at your own background, you have managed large budgets at the Defense Department and
right.
Veterans Affairs Department. You were on Appropriations Committee, a staff member at the Senate. You were a CFO for a state. Given that background, what's your personal reaction to everything you've seen over these many months?
My personal reaction is a bit of shock at how much waste there was, how much abuse there was in the system. And you know, when you look at the numbers, when you run our numbers out, we've wasted about $12 million a day since we went to war in Afghanistan and then in Iraq in 2003. If that doesn't get your attention to force major change, then we need to do something different and do something better. My personal reaction is it's unfortunate what happened in the past. Let's fix it and take this seriously. So we can not only save money in the future, but really it's about how our defense people and our diplomats operate and the success that they have when we ask them to go forward and do our foreign policy.
Okay, so what happens next? What happens with this report from here?
Well, we have a number of congressional hearings scheduled where the Oversight or Armed Services Committees are going to evaluate their recommendations. A couple of members have already dropped legislation on certain elements in the report. But what happens next is there has to be a drive for reform, both from the press, keeping people accountable, from the agencies. There are some reform-minded people in the agencies. They need to step up their efforts. And Congress needs to shine a light on this and say, we're not going to put the nation at risk. We're not going to be unprepared next time. Let's get this fixed, and it's not a fix that's going to happen in one legislative cycle or even two. This is a long-term thing. But let's not forget these lessons before they go cold.